Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, have you decided on who you're supporting for president yet?
Yes, I'm supporting my friend Beto O'Rourke.
There are many people who think he hasn't got a shot, and I happen to be one of them, but who am I? So you're supporting him despite the fact that the odds are against him?
I'm supporting him because I know what's in his heart. I believe he's a smart, capable person. I believe he's a good, decent man. He has the ability to inspire millions of people. He can represent the whole coalition, diverse as it is, of the Democratic Party in this process, which is necessary to win the nomination. I think he's demonstrated ability to raise the resources. Look, here's the bottom line. You're going to have a huge number of news cycles between now and when the voting starts. And
true.
in that process, I believe there's going to be a moment when someone from a new generation who can represent the whole coalition of the Democratic Party is going to get a shot. And it's too soon to tell who will that be. I think Beto is very well positioned. Let me also say, we have a bunch of good candidates. I think we got the most impressive Democratic field I've ever seen in my lifetime. And we've got someone for everybody, boy. So if you're not happy with the candidates this year, you're just not a happy person. If you can't find somebody as a Democrat you like in a field of 24 people, I don't know what to tell you. And I think there's at least a half a dozen of them that I think are highly capable, would make great presidents, who'd have a good shot at beating the president. I happen to think Beto's the best one, and he's a close friend, and I hope people will give him a real look.
Now, as Mr. Steyer, who is all for impeachment, goes around basically threatening people with primaries and things, now says he's going to run for president. Does that bring him up to the leading class or not?
Look, the voters will decide this. Obviously, he's going to throw a bunch of resources at it. I don't think he's going to do very well.
Me too. I agree with you. So you said something that which I thought was interesting about a new class of politicians. Beto is one example of that. But we have a bunch of older guys, people like me. You get Bernie and you get Joe Biden and some of the others.
Alan, can I tell you, those of us who have grown up in the shadow of the baby boom generation know that that your generation will always see itself at the center of American politics and American life.
Uh-huh.
But some of us who are a little younger think it is time for the baby boom to let a few other people have a shot, because one of the unfortunate hallmarks of your generation, and yes, I am going to generalize, is that somehow some fight got started between all you guys sometime in the 1960s, and you've been pissed off ever since. And a lot of it has been directly at odds with coming together as a country and getting stuff done. And somehow, with your generation, this notion started that we have to retreat into red and blue camps, and the other side is evil. And I think it is both false and unproductive. And one of the reasons I'm excited about moving on to a new generation of American leadership is the prospect that we can reexamine some of those notions. Now, we've got a bunch of partisans in the younger generation, God knows. We have got intense people on both sides. But I do think the prospect of a new generation brings with it the prospect of reexamining some of the things we're doing that aren't working. So I'm hopeful that we are going to move, we are going to pass the torch, as John Kennedy said, to a new generation in this presidential election. And with apologies to the baby boomers, who I love in every other respect, but I do think in terms of politics, it's time for new voices and a new generation.
No apology to me. I'm pre-baby boomer.
Then you can agree that those young people in the baby boom generation need to step
right.
aside.
So my question to you is it, do you risk sounding ageist in this?
Well, so be it. I mean, I'm telling you how I feel about what that generation has produced in American politics. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you want to quarrel with that, feel free. But, I mean, you know, turn
Me?
On the television.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm telling you is that I think there has been a particular style of partisanship that has developed among the political leaders that are part of that generation. And that's just a fact. And I'm sure there is so much to be proud of that generation has accomplished as well. I'm just telling you, if you ask me whether I want another baby boom president, the answer is no, I do not.
Okay, I hear you, and I respect it. And frankly, it makes for great radio. So, obviously, there are differences that people will have on that. But I guess I want to ask you whether or not if Joe Biden is the candidate, whether this means that you will be less than, enthusiastic when it comes to getting him elected.
Look, I'm going to feel really good about anybody who defeats the current president, to be honest with you. Having said that, I have a candidate in the Democratic primary. I've been very upfront about that. I've also said there's a bunch of good candidates, and I think the vice president is one of them. I mean, I said what I just said, and I stand by it. I do think Joe Biden's a good man. I think he'd be an infinitely better president than the current one, and I think he's got a lifetime of working for good things. I got a lot of respect for him. I do think it is time for a new generation to step forward, and we got a bunch of other great choices, from Kamala Harris to Pete Buttigieg to Beto O'Rourke and a bunch of others. And I think that would be my preference. But I'm going to support the nominee, and I'm going to do it enthusiastically because the stakes are so high.
And the last time we saw that there were some people who supported Bernie Sanders, I was one of them who supported him. But there's some who actually didn't vote in the election because they didn't like Hillary and they were mad at her. I, of course, voted for Hillary. I'm just wondering what you think the potential for that kind of thing happening again is.
Well, I think I've seen a level of unity in the Democratic Party that did not exist in 2016. I think that Donald Trump has unified us in a fundamental way. And so even when people have sharp differences of opinion about which candidate to support right now at the presidential level, there is a broad-based consensus that whoever emerges as the nominee is going to get our support enthusiastically. I just see the Democrats being more pragmatic than I've seen them in a long time because of their overriding desire to defeat the president. I also will point out, just because I can't help but needle you, that Bernie Sanders is now polling fifth in New Hampshire. So how are you feeling about that, Bernie bro?
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think Bernie's had his time. I voted for him the last time because I thought he offered something. But this time, I like personally, if you want to know what I like Kamala. I think that she's a woman. She's a woman of color with prosecutorial experience. And I see her as either the presidential candidate or the vice presidential candidate.
Well, she owned that stage in the first debate, and I was incredibly impressed with her as well. And anybody who doubts her skill or intellect, just needs to watch a few minutes of that debate. She was very, very impressive, and I think she's got a great shot. Like I said, I've got another horse in this race, but she's part of a really exciting field that I think is going to produce some great leadership.
Do you think that we're in a spot right now where once these debates start to whittle things down, that we can come together?
Absolutely. I don't think anybody ought to worry about that. And I think that part of coming together is everyone feeling like they had their shot. I think one of the problems we got into in 2016 is that a lot of the folks who supported Senator Sanders felt like the deck was stacked against them and that the fix was in for Hillary. And that is really unfortunate, because what ought to happen is everybody ought to feel like, they were able to compete hard and have a fair shot. And I think, by the way, that's going pretty well this year. And when that's over, then we all ought to refocus on what is really the priority, which is to replace this president with somebody who's going to bring our country together, grow the economy, bring us forward.
I have one question left, and I don't have any time to ask it in, but there's ICE roundups, according to the president, that are happening, although we don't see them the way he predicted they were going to happen. I know that you've got people in your district who are undocumented. What is your sense of that?
Well, I think that, as usual, the president was overstating what actually happened. We didn't see anything like what he was predicting in his rhetoric. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that we need to bring some common sense to this and prioritize dangerous, violent people. We do not need to be treating people who are working, raising families, self-reporting into the government the same way as we would treat a violent gang member who's part of MS-13. Unfortunately, the Trump administration's policy of zero tolerance tends to make no distinctions between people who are here working and who may have been here a long time and who are no danger to anybody, and people who are criminals and violent, extremists or threats to our national security or to our communities. That's just crazy. And that's one of the reasons why they've rounded people into cages at the border, separating kids from their parents, because they won't simply release to sponsors in the community these folks and then tell them to come back for a court date, even though we know 90% of them will. And there's ways to improve on that statistic. And so the problem with the president's policy is that it's rooted in what I believe is an extreme and racist view of immigration, and it's making no distinction between people who are not a threat and people who are, because the people who are not a threat should be allowed to get right with the law and pay their debt and contribute to our country. And that's what's always happened in America. So the problem is the policy.
It's great to talk to our friend, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, great pleasure. I really enjoyed this session with you. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Take care.